You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
New Zealand is a first world country, and to be of such a presumption would require us to believe that electricity and heating should be basic right in our country. This, however, is not the case for all New Zealanders who endure power hardship, especially so during winter months. The cause for this is the privatization of these power companies, causing them to pursue money, in which turn controls their policies and costs. Unfortunately, a large portion of New Zealanders experience power hardship, which ultimately is a cumulative issue of inadequate housing on top of expensive rental prices. I spoke to Jodie Gardner, Professor of Law from the University of Auckland, about power companies' unregulated control, as well as the problems lower and middle income New Zealanders face related to heating and electricity. To begin, why is there not enough energy for homes in winter?
Well, I think the correct question isn't so much, is there enough energy to heat homes? Because apart from when we have an overloading of the grid or a mini catastrophe, there is enough electricity to provide everyone in Aotearoa with affordable, appropriate energy. That's not the right question. The right question is how much should we be charging for that electricity, and whether there is a justification to provide lower income and financially vulnerable households with a subsidised tariff to ensure that they can heat their homes without going into financial hardship.
If big companies are then making immense profits, why doesn't the government enforce regulation on those companies, like you say?
The government made a decision to privatise the provision of electricity, not entirely, because a number of the electricity companies do have government involvement or part government ownership, but they made the decision to move it outside of a publicly provided good and make it privatised, meaning it's subject to the standard structure of a capitalist system. And so the companies that provide electricity to everyone are capitalist companies, and their number one goal is to create profit. So this focus will be running the decisions of the company, it will be running the pricing that they put forward. And what it's meant is that something that most people would consider a public good, most people would think having electricity in a rich developed country such as Aotearoa is a basic human right. And if we look at electricity as a basic human right or a public good, when it's put into a privatised capitalist market, there's a disjuncture there. And that's what creates situations where people are going into hardship, or people are being disconnected, or people, one in five people, are worried about how they're going to pay their electricity bills, particularly in winter.
What do you think this says about the current state of the relationship between corporations and government?
I think the government has made a specific decision to privatise electricity, and there were reasons behind that decision in terms of competition and efficiencies. And I think when those decisions are made, there are benefits, but the detriments are far higher put on and felt by those who are already the most vulnerable. So when there is decisions such as the privatisation of electricity, instead of just looking at the benefits in general across society, there really does need to be an emphasis on who is the people who are going to suffer from the detriments, as opposed to just a general cost-benefit analysis of do the benefits overall outweigh the detriments. And in here, the moving of electricity to a privatised system meant it's those people who are vulnerable and those people who have lower incomes or who have unstable incomes that are going to be the ones worse off. And that's going to be exacerbated by the fact that these groups, unless they're in Kangiora housing, are most likely to be in rental accommodation, so they're less likely to be able to control insulation, less able to ensure that the house is energy efficient, double glazing, all of these things that will reduce the electricity bill. So we've got a double whammy here. The people who can afford electricity the least are the ones often paying the most for it because they're in the less efficient houses. And then a third aspect to that is if you are on a prepaid meter because you've got a history of disconnections or not being able to pay your bills, prepaid meters are usually about 15% more expensive than monthly. electricity payments. So then you've got a triple whammy that you could afford to pay at the least. You're often in inefficient housing, using more electricity, paying more electricity, and then the cost of your electricity is also higher. So these are the people that we really need to have a policy-based focus on to ensure that we have a system that allows the benefits of privatisation, if that's what the government want, but with a safety net to those who need it the most. And I thought it was interesting, a couple of months ago, there was one of those very rare situations where they were worried that there wouldn't be enough electricity to provide for all households. And there was the threat of kind of rolling blackouts across large parts of society. And everyone got up in arms and went, oh my goodness, how can we live like this? How could we have the threat of not being able to have electricity over our heads? This is unacceptable. Those people didn't stop and think, well, actually large parts of our population, that's a threat that they deal with every day. And so I think it was a really important learning opportunity for society to have a more kind of empathetic approach to a really important issue.
So what is then the solution to the problem of electricity?
Well, I think there are a lot of solutions. We currently do have some small amount of government subsidies to very vulnerable households, but I think that's insufficient both in breadth and depth. It's not enough money and it doesn't go to enough people. And there are different approaches that we can take to this, but the one that I'm advocating for is what's called a social tariff, which is where energy companies are obligated to provide highly subsidised rates to the most vulnerable households. And this is based on a model that's being implemented in the UK for telecommunications. And in the UK, they've said access to the internet and to phone is a basic human right, and some people can't afford it. So companies have voluntarily, with a little bit of political and social pressure, implemented social tariffs, which is highly subsidised rate for internet and phone, to make sure that everyone can continue to be connected in society. And if they can do that for the basic human right of internet and phone, then surely our country can do that for, I would say, the much more fundamental basic right of electricity and heating.
I guess to finish off, what can you say to those experiencing energy hardship?
If you're in that situation, the first thing you should do is contact your provider and contact them as early as possible. Don't leave it to the point that you're being threatened with disconnection or you possibly are disconnected, and hopefully organise to have a bill reduction or a payment plan put in place. If that doesn't help you long term and you need further support, there is a wide range of wonderful financial mentors available across the country who can help you with budgeting advice, make sure that you're getting all of the benefits that you're entitled to, and provide additional support and assistance to those who need it the most.
You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.